And I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Patsy O'Mahony, who a lot of you will know. If you're ever out walking down there on the Strand, you'll see Patsy painting on the beach most days. So I'm delighted to have him in studio. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you very much.
It's great to see you again. We had a chat before, just when you had your exhibition in Kinsale. Mm-hmm. And glad to know that was somewhat successful for you.
That went reasonably well. I was happy enough.
Excellent. So this is the sort of thing that you will be doing again in the future, maybe?
Oh, definitely. It's all about self-promotion. Obviously, I'm trying to make a living from my art, so I have to promote myself.
Of course you do. And this is the best way to do it, I suppose, with social media and all that sort of stuff as well. I know you're all over that. But, you know, so people can... There's a certain joy, I think, of somebody's out for a stroll and decides to, like, pop into an art gallery and have a look at art. There's a certain joy in somebody just strolling around, having a look, isn't there?
Oh, definitely.
Looking at your pieces on the wall, I'm sure you must get great satisfaction out of that.
I do, particularly when I see children reacting to my artwork. I think I've nailed it when I see a child pointing at a picture. I'm so happy.
You're delighted.
I'm delighted, I think. Cause
so the last time we talked, we had a great old chat, but I would like just to tell the listeners again maybe a little bit about yourself, because you're a very interesting man. You are an artist, an incredible artist, but you were also a deep sea diver. And can you just talk to me and remind the listeners how you marry both of those things?
I was a deep saturation diver, and I was diving since 1989, I think. But when you're at sea, you have an awful lot of downtime and you're sitting around the place. And all sailors have hobbies. Traditionally, they used to put ships in bottles. And today, people study Open University. They're all doing different courses. There's all sorts of hobbies. And mine was sketching and drawing, reading about art. And then when I went into the deeper stuff, I was in chambers for a long time. And I was always reading my books on art and sketching pictures, trying to create art. I was then coming back from a dive, and I used to try and draw, sketch, take notes for the future when I could be painting them up. And that's what I do today. I go back through my notes now and I paint pictures of divers.
And they're beautiful pictures, I have to say. And I love that you're making notes all the time and then you return to your notes to create the picture. How do you get it from the words to the art?
Sometimes I was actually showing someone this the other day. I actually have one of my sketch pads. And because I couldn't use colour in the chambers of the environment, you were only allowed a pencil. But I used to grade it on the darkness and the light. And I used to go 1 to 10. And I used to put these numbers all over the sketching that would prompt me later on, this is what you need to do. And I might make little notes. I think a blue and a grey might look well here in this. And to this day, I use that idea now, and I actually paint black and white pictures, and they seem to be better than my colours, which I think is a strange thing, you know.
Yeah, it's actually great to talk about your process of, you know, your thoughts, and you see something, say, right, I'm going to draw that, and how you actually go about doing that. Have you always had an interest in art since you were a young man, or is it something that's evolved over time?
Since I was a child, I was always interested in art. And I can remember at school, they were reading a story about a little boy in an attic finding a painting. And the painting was telling a story. It just struck a chord with me. And my aspect of art, it's not everyone's aspect, but I like to see a story in a picture. I like to be able to see something that's happening and let your imagination, is it going to do this? Is it going to do that? What's happening here? And there's all different kinds of artists. It's just my style. I like to paint, I particularly like to paint old-fashioned fishing boats on big waves to give the impression of how dangerous it is. Are they going to make it home safely? You know, is everything going to be okay here? I just like to draw out someone's imagination a little bit more when I'm doing my art.
So you're sort of almost giving them a chance to make their own story of what they will they make it home? Won't they make it home? How difficult is it for them in the boat at the time and all that sort of stuff?
Exactly. I try to do that. Now, there's other pictures you can't. If you're painting the lighthouse, Cable Island, they're solid structures. There's no humans in them. And if, you know, I could paint a picture of the island, it could be 100 years ago. It could be 100 years into the future. You just, unless you put humans into them, you won't have a story like
it. Yeah, of course, because you know? It's the same. It's going to be the same. You know, the eyes that are looking at it today, the eyes 100 years ago were also looking at the same view, more or less. You know, if you're looking out to sea from the Strand here to Capel Island. But the last time you were in with us as well, you brought in some of your paintings, which were beautiful, and I loved your diver pictures.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they are just stunningly beautiful, and you can feel the claustrophobia from them and the darkness and what you must have been working in. So, you know, when you were working in that and then drawing it, was it a bit of a busman's holiday, you know, that you were sort of drawing what you were working at?
It's not that easy. You're trying to recreate something like soft pastels. You can actually capture the colour that was on the seabed. Oils and watercolours, it just can't get there yet. I will with the oils eventually, but it's a developing process as well.
Of course it is, yeah.
A developing process.
And like when you were doing your job, your day job, I suppose, back then, was it a scary place to be sometimes?
Oh, yeah. It's just... I did some very, very dangerous jobs, like, you know, and I look back at them sometimes. And I've always said this to people, when we're diving on a ship, you can feel the atmosphere. But if there's no diving going on, everyone's chilled out. But I've done some very dangerous jobs, and yeah, you'd be on edge, you'd be on the edge of your seat. I can recall some things, they'll come back. I suppose I could go through my notes and I'll get...
Of course now, you will.
I wouldn't get flashbacks, it's not like you're... Yeah. In a war zone or anything.
Yeah.
It's just high risk and you had to treat cautiously. I remember one night, and I'm deviating a bit here, I was getting a bit of water in my diving helmet. And the supervisor said to me, Pat, you're getting a lot of gurgling, like, you know. And I noticed the water was getting up around my lips, up over my nose. And I had to check my helmet. And what had happened was the seal had split completely up. And the helmet's quite roomy and you had to lay your head back. But when you lay your head back... you're now putting your head back into very cold water and it's creeping up around your head. So your breathing then starts to, because you have this reaction. And I remember going back to the bell, trying to keep my head up. And you can't see where you're going then because you're only looking up with the water. Now, the physics of it, you're not going to drown because you're in an air bubble. And the pressure is going to keep the water out. It's just uncomfortable. And it's
Patsy, physics aside, right? Yeah, okay, you know you're not going to drown. However, I would be terrified. Like, how far down were you at that point?
I could have been about 400 or 500 feet. But, like, I was terrified too. But you just handle it, you know.
Yeah,
you
of course, yeah. And I get that. But like, you know, you tell that story so, you know, that nonchalantly, like I'm sitting here looking at you literally with my mouth open going, I would absolutely lose it. But I suppose, you know, this is what you did. You knew how to handle the situation. And, you know, then did you make notes that day? It was going to be a very dark painting from that, I'd say, was it?
No, not really. I mean, that particular job, the visibility was tremendous and it was a beautiful job. But the one thing I've got hanging over from the diving is pressure. Our lives depended on pressure. A loss in pressure is serious business. And I'm very tuned into hearing little tweaks of gas moving around. Even to this day, if I'm sitting down somewhere and I can hear a psst, I'm on it. Yeah. We have to know where it is.
It's a life and death for you if you're down that far underwater. You know, it is life and death.
Those kind of things stay with you.
Of course.
Like when we were going off in a diving bell and we were transferring back on, these were the dangerous times, disconnecting and connecting. And it was all about pressure. And I've had colleagues who've nearly died, you know. We've videos of it. We've workplace videos. Some terrifying situations when they lose the seal. You're minutes away from death then. And what happens is when you start to lose the pressure, everything condenses, so you can't see anything. So now you're trying to find valves that might have been knocked open. And the last bell I used to work on had 79 valves. So which valve is leaking? Which valve is opened?
And you've no visibility then either.
And you're down to no visibility. Now you would... Every professional diver is a professional.
Yeah, of course.
And they'd start looking for the main culprit straight away. There is some valves you would knock. Very interesting. I'm deviating a bit here, but we had certain incidents at work, and then they brought in aviation industry to see where we were lacking. And that was fascinating, dealing with pilots who were able to set up checklists. And they dramatically reduced the exposure time of danger. If something went wrong, they introduced a system that cut it down to minutes instead of 10 minutes, you know.
That's incredible, isn't it? I suppose they have to, again, they're in high pressure situations where they're, you know, life and death if things go wrong. So how the two different professions helped each other, it's amazing, isn't it? But we're going back to your art now.
Oh, yes.
So the art, but you see, they're intertwined, your art and your work, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just so interesting to talk to you about both of them. So you know, culture night. I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, why can't we have a culture weekend? Why does it have to be culture night?
And I love it. Great idea.
I said, why does it have to be culture night? Because, you know, there's one night we're trying to get around to see everything and you can't possibly do that. So with regard to culture night, though, is for somebody who's a local artist, how important is that to local people particularly? And, you know, you're even opening up your artwork to so many different people. Like, so how important is it as a concept?
It's fantastic as a concept because there's so many different art forms out there. There's people doing all sorts. And here's an opportunity for them. Come forward, show your stuff off, be seen. A lot of people are very, very shy and they think, oh, my stuff is this, my stuff is that. It is, but art is a way of relaxing. It's very good for the mind, it's very good for the soul. You might not be Picasso, but, you know, you're not producing a Rembrandt, but, you know, you're still producing art. It's not the standard. And we shouldn't worry about the standard. You're actually doing, it's like someone kicking a football, playing golf. Art is just another form. And culture night is brilliant. You can bring them forward, you know.
Exactly. And and you can showcase yourself and showcase your work to people who might not normally see it. Because, you know, if you're sort of a bit like me and I love anything to do with the arts and theatre or anything like that, I will veer out of my way. If I'm on a walk somewhere and I see an art gallery, I'll go in and I'll have a walk around. You know, I will. I'll take that. It's like the, you know, the bookshop. If I see a bookshop, I'm there. I could be there for an hour, you know, just wandering around having a look. But sometimes that people, obviously we're busy lives and stuff, and we might not be that way inclined to go for art. They might, you know, like you say, play golf or something like that. But to have culture night here, that people who are not normally inclined to go and look at art can go and look at art.
Oh, and that's another thing. Like I was talking about getting the artist to come forward and put their stuff out there. But there's other people, you know, who aren't in art. Come look at it. You might find that poem that just hits a chord with you. You might hear that music that you think, wow, this is just... And culture is a human thing. It's people were painting on the sides of caves in the Stone Age.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm a firm believer of exposing art and everything about it to young people as well. And I took my 17-year-old, he'll kill me for telling the story now, but I took my 17-year-old to the Crawford Art Gallery. And we had a walk around there. We were in there for, you know, an hour or whatever. And we came out, because there's a lovely cafe in there as well. And we came out and I sort of said to him, well, what did you think of that, you know? And he goes, oh, I really didn't like that. I really did not like, there was a particular art exhibition in there by an artist. He said, I really didn't like it. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. I said to him, you're not doing it wrong, because it evoked a feeling in you.
Yeah.
You didn't like it. It made you feel uncomfortable looking at this, but it made you feel something, you know. So that's it doesn't mean that you have to like everything that you see, but at least you're sort of getting a reaction, a feeling, whether it's a good feeling or a bad feeling.
Yeah, it's a reaction to the art. It's fantastic.
It is.
It's
now, fantastic. We love your art, by the way.
Thank
so,
you.
So, you know, I actually have some of your pictures hanging in my kitchen. So my lads hung them up there for me the other day and they were going, yeah, it's beautiful. And if you had to sort of explain to somebody now who will never get to see your art, can you just try and explain what it is that they will be going to see if they ever get to see it?
If they come to Culture Night, I've concentrated on the old Fishermen of Yall. And I think I have Cable Island and maybe one beach scene. But I've kept them old and I just tried to capture that old feel of the old salmon men of yore that used to fish at the mouth of the harbour. Now, they fished the whole river, but I was only exposed to the men who fished the entrance. And that's what I've... I have a few paintings of those. And I have the island, of course. It's my go-to place to paint.
Of course it is. Capel Island, we all love it. And, you know, do you have different scenes? Like, as I know you said before that sometimes these men were starving coming home, like that they were absolutely starved and they hadn't eaten and they're trying to get home as fast as they can. And when you said that to me and I looked at the pictures, I was going, yeah, I can see, I can almost see them. You know, you can hear their tummies rumbling, actually, in it, you know, because they're just trying to get home. Is it a mix of different moods, or is that sort of the prevailing theme that they're just trying to get home?
My prevailing theme is trying to show the exposure of danger that they'd exposed themselves to. These were very brave men who went out every day earning a living for their families. And I'm trying to show the exposure of danger that they put themselves in front of. They put themselves in harm's way to earn a living.
They did, yeah. They absolutely did. And and your paintings are absolutely gorgeous. Now, if somebody's down there and they want to buy one, can they do that?
Oh, yeah, come to me directly. I'd be delighted.
Yeah, says you. I'll be only thrilled to sell them to you. But how long are they going to be staying in the Mallards?
We're there from about 4 o'clock on to 9 o'clock.
Perfect.
And that'll be it, yeah.
And and then they're not staying there for the weekend or anything?
No. It's just in and out. It's not
right,
a weekend.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to work on the culture weekend, I think, rather than the culture night. Because
I think culture weekend is a fantastic
idea. Isn't it a great
idea? Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the venues now are working. Like, I know the Yall Credit Union and stuff, they work during Saturday. So you'd have to maybe go around that. But surely we could keep it open for the weekend, you know. But
well, if you were a visitor to Yall and you arrive on a Friday evening, and then you've all day Saturday and Sunday. Fantastic to have culture for
I think
weekend.
I might patent that,
I think
actually.
You should.
Listen, it's been my great pleasure to speak with you again, and thank you for taking the time to come in. Best of luck, as always. Make sure you keep regularly coming in to us if you're ever having any more exhibitions, because the more people we can get to see your art, the better.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.